Amarin again, Talk Over Pod. Today we're going to be talking about some advice and tips for DJs. Now I think, like, when I initially approached you two with the idea for doing advice and tips, it wasn't specifically aimed at entry level DJs.
Mm-hmm.
When I had in my mind was like also stuff that maybe like I'd learned through the year.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things that have popped up that I was like, oh, I wish I'd known that earlier than now, where I'm closer to the end of my career than the start. Do you know what I mean? So I wish I'd learnt these things before now. So I was like, yeah, I'll put a couple in there. And so we all kind of had a little brainstorm and chucked in some advice and tips. So we might as well just jump into the list and make this episode very like concise to the list, because we usually like to skip over a lot of topics. But definitely, I think Cable, you said this one, earplugs.
Yeah, I think, you know, your ears are your tools and you need to protect them as much as you can for as long as you can as well. So I saw this early on, and I think 2007 is when I first started wearing like custom mold earplugs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, obviously at that time there's no help musician scheme, so I had to go and get it done privately. And, you know, it's like about 150, 160 quid, which is like still the same price to get it done anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But for any regular DJ, any kind of working he's got like regular bookings, provided you show help musicians where you're playing and what you're doing and that you're active on the circuit, you get a discounted rate of like, I think it's £40 for a set. Nice. Of custom molds with the filters, and you get a free hearing test as well. I highly recommend you get it done. They keep the molds on file for 3 years as well. So
5 years, I think, actually.
Oh, is it 5 years now?
Is it ACS?
Yeah, ACS. So,
I think,
okay.
Mine was when I lost my first pair, and 4 years and 6 months after I lost them, I went back and they're like, oh, yeah, we're still within the time.
Ah, amazing.
So, 4 years and 6 months after getting them, sorry, not losing them.
Yeah, if you're just starting out and you haven't necessarily got the, like, I guess the credentials to go and get a pair on the scheme and that, they're quite accommodating anyway. But if you're just starting out and you're only going to like do your first club gig like next week, you can always get lost in disposable ones where you can get some half decent like molded ones, not customs, but they'll kind of still take away a lot of the noise damage. So always have those as a backup, and you know, the cheap kind of disposable fine ones that you can get off of Amazon, or keep them in your bag as well, just in case.
Well, it's worth knowing actually that legally venues have to provide them if you ask. They have to have them for customers. If a customer asks for ear protection, the venue has to provide it. So most venues, if they're playing by the book, will have a box full of the cheap, you know, the bright green and pink ones that you roll and then you stuff. They're horrible, but they are better than nothing. Funny story about one of them once. I had a pair in because this, I think, was in the period when I'd lost mine or didn't have them with me for some reason. And so I used a pair, but I wasn't getting on with them. So, so I took them out. And I put them on the side of the DJ booth, and a few minutes later, one of the doormen that was in the DJ booth grabbed one and put it in his mouth.
Oh my God!
He thought they were sweets.
Oh, that's fucking grim.
I will never forget seeing him grab it.
That is a howler.
Oh, so yeah.
Fucking hell.
There's a fun little story about them ones. But yeah, you can get them for free from the venues. So ask the managers or at the bar. I think they have them there. I'm 99.9% certain it's a legal obligation for loud music venues to have them.
And so, and also if you're taking time off and say you're going to go to a club and see another DJ spin, or like if I go to Ibiza and I play for Policies event, I'll extend my stay and go to the clubs and that, and they're like loud as fuck out there as well. Always tell my earplugs when I go raving as well.
Oh, 100%. As a customer, you know what? Not just raving. If I go to, when I take my son to football matches, if they're bigger stadiums, I'll wear them. Or occasionally we'll go to like stock car. We've got a stock car, which, you know, the banger racing where they smash into each other.
Yeah.
Half of those cars don't have exhaust back boxes on, so they're loud as fuck. Put my ear defenders in and I'm nice. Can hear everything perfectly, but it's just not. I think like, because I've been DJing for so long, my ears are more sensitive to other noises.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone like claps their hands too loud, bang, sets off like my tinnitus. It levels up for about half an hour for a little bit. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Also shooting as well. I grew up in the countryside, so I used to shoot quite a lot. And I used That'll to wear it. Them. Well, when I was in Vegas last month, I actually went to a shooting range and put them in underneath the ear defenders you get. So there's multiple uses. But yeah, definitely ear defenders, earplugs, 100%. One thing I have struggled with is where I use in-ears for DJing, I can't use my ear defenders for DJing now.
So how do you find it when you're setting the volume that? Because I can imagine it's very easy to blast your eardrum like with...
Well, this is one of my concerns. It's like these fit, these aren't customs. They're not custom molds. These are just generic ones. But I use the right tip to fit in my ear. So I feel like it creates a good enough seal that the booth monitors can be up loud. I don't have them too loud. I don't think I do. But they can be up loud without hurting my ears. But yeah. One concern I've always had is, am I just injecting the sound waves directly into my eardrums now? Are these, and using these in a club, doing me more damage than having over-ear ones? I don't know. I'll tell you in like 20 years' time.
Yeah, I think, you know what? Probably asking someone like Joey LaBelle or even like James Hype, because they use like custom in-ears, don't they? I think Andy does as well when he's like touring with Cinch.
I don't think Joe LaBelle uses it, earphones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he doesn't use earphones.
Oh, shit.
He DJs without them.
Mad.
But, yeah, I know James... But I imagine James Hype uses molded ones because he does a lot of big stage stuff. And I know the guys that do festivals and stuff. Martin and Andy, I'm pretty sure, have custom molds.
Yeah.
I'm a cheapskate, man. I didn't want to... It was £1,500 for the custom molded ones or £80 for these. So I'm like... Yeah. Well, yeah. They do the same job, so I'll just get the £80 ones. And yeah.
I need to get some new ear defenders. I lost mine. So
it's essential, man.
Yeah. Even I might do what Cable suggested. Do that.
Yeah, even with the price tag, even if you're paying the most, I think I paid $170 for mine. But even if you factor that over 1 year, it's less than £20 a month.
Oh, mate, it's,
and
yeah,
they paid
no,
for themselves.
Yeah, there's
that.
No.
And it's just so essential.
There's no negative to having them, apart from if you wear in ears. So, and I don't. Yeah. So,
well, one thing I do struggle with when I use them is sets. There's some sets I do where I don't need the mic, but some sets where I'm on the mic, I can't host if I have them in.
Okay.
I don't know why. I think it's because I'm just used to the volumes but I find if I've got them in, I'm very, very shouty on the mic.
Mm.
And if they're not in, I can host
regulate
properly.
Yourself.
I find it, I find it weird. I also get a bit of a sense of like, I don't know if disassociation is the right word, but when I don't have them in and you can hear the full ambience of the room, I feel more involved. Mm-hmm. If I've got them in, I feel like a little bit separated from the vibe, which might be a really weird thing to say, but that's something I've always felt if I've had ear defenders in. Obviously, having them out, I'm damaging my ears, so it's like, do you want to be involved in the party? For me, like I'm very much, my DJ style is like, I get my energy from the energy in the room.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's where I've struggled in the past with ear defenders. But again, I think that's because I'm a creature of habit. Do you know what I mean? So I'm used to what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
Putting them in is something a bit different. So I would definitely, even with those cons to having them, I would still recommend anyone that hasn't got them, go get them. 100%.
Go get them. I'm going to go get
like,
more.
Literally, as soon as, while you're listening to the pod right now, open
order
Safari,
some.
Type in ACS custom ear defenders. You can book an appointment at like Boots. That's where I got my.
That's where I got my last ones done.
Boots. Okay, where'd you get it done though? Because they don't do it in Colchester, do they?
Yeah, I got it done in Colchester unless they changed it. But they got like a little like hearing room, like right towards it. You know where like, they get the prescriptions and stuff at the back of the store. You should be able to get it done.
Okay.
There.
I'll try them.
I think, to be fair, I think even places like Vision Express and that, or like some of the opticians, you can get hearing tests there.
Oh,
as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most places that do hearing tests do molds as well because they have they fit hearing aids for people. You know, I'd say for old people, but for old people and
us
DJs that haven't taken our advice. Yeah.
And that's the thing, it's like, do you want to spend like up to £170 or £40 on the scheme, or do you want to spend like thousands of pounds later in life getting a hearing aid?
But you know what, not even, just speaking from experience, not even the financial side of it, I remember I had a hearing test probably about 10 years ago. I might have mentioned this on the pod previously. And the guy said, there's damage here. He said, your hearing's damaged. And I said, what age range would you put my hearing at? And he said, no, it doesn't work like that. He said, but for somebody your age, I have never seen this amount of damage to hearing. And he was like, and this is irreversible. He was like, this will never get better. It will only get worse.
Wonderful.
Over time. And he was shocked. He was like, I've never in my career have I seen someone your age with this much damage.
Oh, so mate, it's like cooked.
Literally cooked. So it's not even the financial side of it. It's like I have conversations with my son. He gets pissed off because I ask him three times to repeat himself. He'll walk in the room and say something. I'm like, pardon? And he'll say it again. And I'm like, no, say it one more time. And he's like, oh, like, but he's just used to the fact that my hearing is battered. My hearing is battered. Even in social situations, if I'm in, for example, if I'm sat down having drinks with friends at like a pub, if there's background music or even just a busy pub with a lot of conversations, I struggle to hear what's going on. I struggle to stay in tune with the conversation because I cannot hear the voice. Do you know what I mean? It's weird. So it's like, and that's coming from first-hand experience, man. My hearing's so fucked that it affects my day-to-day life. So if you haven't got them yet, get them. I like a lot of people that have got them but don't wear them. Like, start wearing them, man.
Yeah, that's wild.
Start wearing them because, yeah, don't be like me. Basically, because all jokes aside, it's sometimes it's quite awkward socially, especially if you're talking to strangers. You can only ask them to repeat themselves twice.
Yeah,
and then you just have to be like, yeah, cool.
Gotcha.
And yeah, exactly. And I have no
idea. You know, you've accepted a £100 fee.
Be like, oh, that's amazing! Congratulations! And they just told you they've got stage 4 cancer. It's like, fucking hell. So, do you know what I mean? So, look after your hearing, man. Who said find a mentor?
Both of us.
I think both of you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Again, this is another episode that was recorded way back in the day, early days of Talkover podcast, about finding someone who's already embedded in the game to take you under their wing. Sick advice.
Amazing, like, advice.
Such good advice. Why did you both mention that? Like, what do you think are the benefits?
I started with a mentor. I was quite lucky.
Who was your mentor?
Paddy and Sean.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, so...
What are their DJ names?
DJ Paddy and DJ Sean B.
DJ Paddy and DJ Sean.
Very easy. But yeah, so I was working in a bar at the time and Paddy was the resident DJ and mate of mine. Basically taught me how to DJ, and from that point just gave me the keys, I guess. Like, taught me how to warm up, taught me how to mix first and foremost, taught me how to warm up, taught me how to not be a dick, gave me tips on just like fees and stuff, and explained that I weren't going to get thousands of pounds for a 2-hour gig initially. Yeah. I got to do some shit before I learned how to play at venues. Sean's just, he's 10 years older than me. But Cable knows Sean's a bit of a young soul as well.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of bounce ideas off each other and, you know, got similar tastes. And yeah, he's got more experience. So he always like gives me advice. Like, even like you guys just even come on this podcast, you guys are slightly older than me as well. So I view yous as inadverted mentors. Mm. So like, whenever you say something, I always take note and listen. So even if it's someone you don't really know, but say you might follow them on social media, like, you can pick up a lot of tips from what people are doing just by watching behaviours and actions as well.
Oh, 100%.
I just think, just find someone that you fuck with and you think is, you know, good, I guess, and see if you can maybe like reach out, or, you know, I'm always open to speaking to new DJs and helping out. I think, you know, this, why not people help me, so why would I not then help others as well? So
yeah, I think it's the other things, well, if you've got like no immediate older DJs or veterans, I should say, in your area, then yeah, you got a phone with Instagram and all these DJs that you follow, like, reach out to some of them. You'll be surprised like who comes back like and who's willing to kind of drop some gems and give you some advice on that, you know what I mean?
Exactly, 100%,
man. Even to a point where if you're not able, or, you know, like, a lot of people, they're not outgoing enough to ask someone like, oh, can you be my mentor, or can I shadow you, or whatever. Even something as simple as finding someone online and like finding maybe, for example, like let's say a DJ Puffy, where he does his live streams and he does his start to end, I think it's called, where he does like a whole 6-hour set in the streets in Brooklyn, and following his set, listening to it and studying that, how he structures it and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not mentorship as it were, but it is
learning,
taking studying what he's doing, how he's putting things together, and taking from that and applying it to your own style of DJing and learning that way.
Like I think we see a lot of examples of DJs where they don't have a mentor, and it's quite telling. Like you might go to a gig one time and the quote unquote warm-up DJ won't be doing a quote unquote warm-up set and I see a lot of people that get annoyed by it, but which I kind of get, but at the same time it's quite obvious they haven't got the right schooling or the right advice. So sometimes it's, if you've got a relationship with that person, maybe like point them in the right direction, say, hey listen, like what you're doing is dope, but for the setting maybe think about this. I think there's ways to do it. Like I was quite lucky, you know, I got taught like don't play the bangers at 10 o'clock like kind of, you know, very simple terms, and I learned how to structure a night based off that, you know, played 6-hour sets. You know, I think that's a big thing as well. Go and do those long sets, because that's where you really learn how to DJ. Anyone can go and play an hour set somewhere. So go and do those long ones, learn how to read a crowd, learn how to send people to the bar and bring them back, you know, like they're all really good skills that you don't necessarily learn if you don't really have help. You kind of just raw dog it and just, you might get lucky, but a lot of the time you won't, especially if you don't have someone pointing in the right direction. So if you do have someone you're close with, like definitely ask for tips. And even like ourselves, like if someone wants to message me on Instagram and say, hey Craig, how do you structure a night? I'm more than willing to help. My way might be, is completely different to how other people do it as well. So there's no real right way, but there's definitely a wrong way on how to do things.
I think even as mentors as well, I think DJs would say certain things, like give just little tips and gems that will just stick. So my example is I used to scratch a lot during sets, but like, I mean a lot, where I'd learned to scratch and now I was like, cool, this is my thing. And my mentor, he actually said to me, he was like, you don't need to do the scratching for everything. You don't need to scratch over everything. You don't need to scratch every song in before you drop it. Like, and the way he explained it was like, so the scratching is like the seasoning for food. It's like, it's not the main ingredients. It's like the songs are the main ingredients. The technique is how you put those ingredients together. The scratching is just your little bit on top, just to show you what you can do. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, not everything needs to be juggling and scratching. Like, you don't need to trick the whole set out. And like, that was something I took on board.
Yeah.
And was like, okay, cool. And that stuck with me forever. Is like, okay, cool, I can scratch, but I don't need to all the time.
There's so many things that you learn like early on that, what I learned especially, that were given to me from other people.
Yeah.
It's invaluable that I know now. And even now, even some of those theories adapt and evolve, and obviously you get your own ways of working as well. But it's always good to have like a bit of a framework to go from someone that's already tried and tested. So yeah, I couldn't think of anything better than having a mentor. Who were your mentors?
So it's probably like the generation probably above Paddy and Sean. So there's like some other DJs in my area my age, and we were kind of like, used to just study all the DMC videos and like watch it in like half speed and try and reverse engineer it. But there was like a culture that used to have like a really big sort of local hip-hop scene in like kind of like the early 2000s, and it was like Complete, AG, Bobby Skills, like the people that Sean was cool with, that would like kind of put on monthly events, and you know, just kind of hang out with them. And Johnny Banger, who runs Sports Banger, he's from Colchester originally. He used to run under the name DJ Newborn, because he just looked like hella young. That was like his DJ name.
It's a sick DJ name. That's so sick.
Kind of like the kind of like sort of prodigy of that kind of little scene. So being able to kind of like asking for questions and stuff and get some pointers was always good. And yeah, it's like a few like local DJ workshops and stuff where I kind of went and kind of got to meet like other DJs and that. But a lot of it was just finding out myself, chatting to other DJs who are on a similar level to me, and just watching videos and trial and error, really. So, yeah, you know, whereas now, if you haven't got access to a mentor, or say, like, you know, someone's not responding to your DMs, you got YouTube, bro. There's, like, you know, millions of, like, tutorials on there, and yeah, a lot of them are pretty good. I don't think there's any kind of, like, crazy hot takes on there, but you know, the fundamentals of, like, how to DJ and how to structure a set. And there's podcasts like this as well, where you kind of, like, drop tips, and, you know, you've got Roy podcast, where they interview, like, you know, so many, like, top tier DJs as well, who are obviously willing to, like, kind of drop gems as well. So yeah, well, what about you, Double? Who taught you how to DJ?
I've had a couple, actually. I think DJ Flex was probably my first mentor. He was the first person to ever book me for a club. I had to go and audition at his house.
Oh wow,
sick.
I was like 17 year old, just like, yeah, it was at first a very weird, intimidating scenario, but yeah, he was super cool. Did a little DJ set for him, but he gave me tips, like, because obviously I was vinyl, it wasn't Serato, but while I was DJing, to get the songs in time, I'm changing the pitch, but I might be going from, like, -2 to +6 to get these songs to fit. And he was the one that kind of explained, in a club, if you do it that drastically, people notice, because the song's pitch changes. Obviously, we're on vinyl, so you change the speed, the voice gets more squeaky, yeah, etc. So he just gave me little tips like that. He was the first guy that booked me for a club and gave me my first proper residencies, I'd say, where I learned to play to people.
Yeah.
And then when I started DJing in Brighton, a DJ called Mr. Fix, he was, I would say, my serious mentor. He was a bit older than me. I don't know how much older, actually. Maybe like 10, 15 years older, possibly. He ran a night on Saturday in Brighton, which was like the hottest R&B and hip hop night in the city. And he brought me on to do, like, the early hours. Me and him became close friends, actually. But yeah, he mentored me through, like, my early club era. And then I'd say, probably unofficially, Scotty B. Like, yeah, doing, I used to do a lot of my early stuff was with, like, Twice As Nice, but as the Twice As Nice warm up, when people would book the franchise and they sent Scotty and Ibs or Scotty and Psycho, but they also, it had to be a Twice As Nice lineup, so I was sent as, like, the warm up / warm down. So spending a lot of time doing shows in different areas with Scotty and watching how he played and how he navigated a 2-hour set with 50 million songs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just the way he DJ'd, how he used the equipment was like, fuck, this is levels. So he was never officially my mentor, but definitely
somebody you look to.
A lot of inspiration for what I can do now came from Scotty B.
He's done hands down the best Blendemic I've ever seen.
The best Blendemic.
This was like CDJ days as well. He played the theme tune from Friends and then he mixed the Drop It Like It's Hot over the chorus.
Oh, okay.
That's elite.
He also did Wonderwall and then the Drop It Like It's Hot instrumental underneath. I've seen him do that live, like, probably like 15 years ago or something. I'm mad. But yeah, crazy. Innovator, like, easily one of the sickest club DJs, like, I would go as far to say on the planet, like, in the world, one of the best club DJs.
He's up there as UK goats with, like, DJ Swing, RIP, Shorty Blitz, Shorty Bless is obviously as well, Don Sherman.
Yeah, 100%. Entry-level equipment was one of them, so... Cable, did you say about don't go out and buy, like, all of the best gear when you're starting out, like, get the shit stuff? And was it you or was it Craig?
I think you said it, Cable. Yeah, but I agree.
Yeah, like, and it's what, like, Elijah said, isn't it? Like, if you like music, you should DJ. So you haven't got to go out and buy, like, CDJ 3000Xs and an A9 mixer. You don't have to go and get a S11 and, like, a pair of, like, Pioneer turntables. Like, just, you know, go get a little like £70 Hercules controller, or just, like, use Virtual DJ on your laptop or something. Just, you know, see if it's something you want to do. Like, and if it sticks, cool, then start getting the equipment. I think it's good to kind of learn on as much stuff as possible, so that way you're kind of prepared for any kind of environment. You know, we've all kind of had, you know, been in these situations where a DJ's come in and plonk their controller on top of the CDJs and you're like, ah, like, why? You know, you can go rent Pirate Studio for like £10 an hour and learn how to practice on that equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, the more well-versed you are, the better when it comes to that. And again, you don't necessarily want to break the bank straight away, because if you go and buy like an AZ controller, which is what, like $2,500, and 6 months down the line, you're like, yeah, I don't think it's really for me, then, you know, you've like either got to sell that or not really make your money back. So, yeah, you know, we all started off on like shitty setups. You know, we couldn't all afford like 12 tens and a whatever mixer at the time, the Vestax mixer. So, yeah, just like start small and then just kind of build your equipment up bit by bit.
Especially now, like you said, because there's so many different options in terms of like, especially controllers as well. Like you mentioned, you can pick up like, you know, even those small controllers to learn how to mix them A to B, you know, and you'll find if you are starting out that you'll either get the bug for it or you won't.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get the bug for it, then sweet, you've probably wasted, say, 100 quid. But if not, then you can start building up what you have. Like, I had this really shitty like Numark controller with like definitely a cracked version of Serato. That Paddy gave me I just practiced on that in my bedroom for like months on end. I'd go to Paddy's house every Saturday and he would teach me how to mix on like his little CDJs that he had and stuff as well, and then just you either get the bug or you won't, and don't skink yourself to learn. You don't need to get everything brand new.
See, it's interesting because I have almost the opposite opinion.
Do you really? That's interesting.
I don't think going out and getting like the absolute top end stuff, I don't think go and buy an A9 and 2 3000s now is the right advice. But I also don't think the Hercules, I've actually got one back there and I use it for when I'm traveling and just want to do content on like hotel balcony or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a terrible piece of equipment and I hate DJing.
I've never used one, to be fair.
I did a 4 hour set one time.
The only benefit I've found to having it is it fits in my backpack and it can travel anywhere super easily.
Yeah.
But 10 out of 10 would not recommend to anyone. I think it's a horrible little piece of kit, with the only benefit being I can pull it out in a hotel room and just make a quick recording.
I was thinking more so just from the basis of learning the really basic fundamentals.
But I think something like the Hercules controller makes it more difficult to learn the fundamentals. Mm. Someone like me that's been DJing for this long, it's not complicated, but it's so different to what's normal.
Okay, do you know what I mean? That's fair.
Yeah, and so, I think something like the DDJ, like Flex 2 or something would be like...
I can't remember all of the controllers, but I do think if you want to... It's almost like if you want to be a builder... Don't go and buy your tools from Lidl. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to be a builder, don't absolutely go out and get all the high-end stuff and buy everything for thousands. But you want decent stuff.
Yeah, don't be wrong. I don't think I'd get that Hercules controller as my starting point. Like, I'd get something probably like the Rev 1. Rev 1's really good, like basic. It's got all the functionality that you do need.
Yeah.
So I think something like that would be good. Or if you can, like Facebook Marketplace, see what deals you can get secondhand, depending on your budget as well. Like if you can pick up like a pair of CDJs on Marketplace, but even still then, that's going to be a lot more expensive than just getting like a Rev 1, for example. So I would recommend like a really good basic controller.
Mm-hmm.
Learn the fundamentals. And then obviously at the same time, if you can go to Pirate Studios, if you've got one close by or a friend's house that knows how to DJ, definitely try to get access to that too. But yeah, I'd say a basic controller is like the bare minimum really.
Yeah, and I think because also a lot of people will, when they transition from doing bedroom sets into club sets, they take that controller with them.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people turn up with controllers that are literally like 10 inches wide and that's their whole unit is there. Do you know what I mean? And it's like we've discussed before, those machines are not built with the sound output for big sound systems. Mm-hmm. So it's not... You're not doing anyone justice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You need to learn to scale up. So I think if you buy a big all-in-one unit from Pioneer, for example, then when you do get to a club, the standard club stuff is not going to be so far away from what you're used to playing on, you know?
Yeah.
If you just want to get something just to DJ in the house or just muck about at home, whatever, like spend £100 on a controller. But I think if you're getting into it as a I am going to be a DJ. This is the career path.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think mid-level. Not high-end stuff, yeah. but not the bottom entry-level stuff. I think you got to go mid and invest a bit, like you would in any business. Mm. Don't get a shit laptop.
I do think, though, that...
Spend money on the laptops
you got. Yeah, I do think that the bug is, like, the key, though. So I think anyone starting, they might want to be, like, a club DJ or, like, whatever, the best DJ in the world, but...
Yeah.
I think just from a logical standpoint, it would make sense to go just a little bit cheaper to begin with. And then, because you find you have the bug very quickly, by the way. Yeah. Like, I knew within like two sessions that fucking hell, I love this. I want to do this forever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you can get it quite quickly. Even if you wanted to, I don't know, borrow a friend's equipment, go around your mate's house if they've got a setup, see if you can do that. That's also another way of doing it because they might have something better that you can learn on. Yeah. There's loads of different options to learn, isn't there, I guess?
Yeah.
100%. Like you could go to Parrot Studios if you wanted to. Fuck it. Book yourself a session. Take someone that you know knows how to set up and DJ as well and do that. Like, there's loads of different ways, but yeah, I wouldn't say spending like thousands of pounds is the smartest thing to do if you want to learn.
I think there's a happy place. I think there's a sweet spot with what to spend. But this is the thing as well, to get the right stuff, I think it's like with any trade, with any industry, it's not cheap to get a good setup.
It's not.
And so, yeah, you can go to Lidl and buy a drill and a set of screwdrivers and then tell someone that you can build their extension for them, but your tools are not going to last for the whole extension job. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, if you really want to be a builder, you have to go and buy proper tools.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the same applies to DJing. If you really want to go and do it in the clubs, spend that bit extra, invest in your beginning, and build on it from there.
Yeah.
So, but you're right, there's nothing wrong with starting on a Hercules and a month later saying, yeah, I love this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Upscale it. Yeah. And then if you don't love it, you've only lost 50 quid.
Exactly, yeah. It depends on, I guess, like you said, how serious you are. Also depends on your budget as well. Like, if you've got the budget for it, then fuck it, spend that money, you know, because don't really, you can sell it and, you know, trade it into like getting a mix or whatever. Like,
yeah, it's quite easy to do. I think the secondhand DJ market is quite a healthy place.
Yeah.
There's always people after equipment. And from what I can see, for the most part, equipment holds its secondhand value. Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
If it's, especially if it's looked after, yeah.
Definitely. So, we've got watch and hear other DJs and networking.
Yeah, that kind of falls closely to the mental one as well, doesn't it, I guess?
It does a bit. I was going to ask you both to name two or three DJs that you think absolutely people should go to listen to.
CJ.
CJ Beats. CJ all day now.
Yeah.
CJ all day. Yeah, that's a very, very good shout, actually.
Me, CJ, man. Come see me.
You can put your own name.
Tequila with me though. That's like a rule. We have to have a tequila. I'd say I always enjoy. I haven't seen you DJ much double. Obviously, I've seen you a few times that when we've linked up at Romford and stuff. I've seen like the early parts of your sets and that. So, obviously, from that point of view, yeah, definitely. I've seen more of Cable naturally. So I'd say definitely a Cable set. Someone that I see online play a lot, but I haven't had the privilege to actually be in the room, is Donch. I would like to see a live Donch set.
Yeah, he's dope.
Simply because I've seen some things that he does, his sets are quite quirky and that you can definitely see like no one's doing that. So I think that would be quite cool.
He thinks very differently about music, I think, Donch.
Yeah.
He's wired differently to the rest of us. He sees things in music that makes sense, but like, for example, he will make a connection between two songs and do something that I'm like, well, it works, and I see that it works, but I would never have thought that would have worked.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, he's a very innovative, very skilled DJ, definitely.
For sure.
Yeah, Donch is a good shout.
There's so many, mate.
Levels and Shorty Bless as well. Like, Levels is like purely from like a dance hall and soca perspective, but also in terms of open format as well. Like, some of the stuff that he draws for is very like out there, but it works in that situation. And Shorty's just like good all rounder as well. So
I've never seen Levels play before.
It's cool, man. Especially if Kali's on the mic for him as well, because sometimes Kali will host his sets, and Kali, like, hands down, up there with like Mr. Hooley. He's like one of the best in the industry for hosting.
Mr. Hooley is exceptional,
top tier. Yeah,
Yeah, exceptional host and DJ. Actually, he's a bad boy DJ, but he's known mainly for hosting now. But yeah, bad boy DJ. I've mentioned him already, but I'm definitely putting Scotty B on the list.
Mm-hmm.
But he's
still in Dubai though.
Yes,
quite a difficult place to go.
Very difficult place to
on a whim just to go see someone.
If you happen to find yourself in Dubai, definitely, if you got
money to go to Dubai, you got money to buy yourself an AZ for your first controller.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'm putting Stylus on the list.
Yeah,
he's another innovator, and he's definitely someone like he is of the rare kind of DJ that will go out of his way to dig and find stuff that no one's got. And he's playing songs in a way that no one's playing them. Do you know what I mean? Like, he'll think of the biggest songs, but he'll play it in a way that you're like, it's sick.
It shouldn't work, but it works, yeah.
I don't know why it works, but it works. But no, Stylo, the way he structures his sets as well, like, his sets are not made up of moments. You know how some people, their sets, does that make sense? They have, like, peaks, and the moments are the big songs and the way they've dropped it. Stylus's sets are like a journey. Do you know what I mean? Like from start to finish, it just, everything flows perfectly. So Stylus is on the list, definitely.
See, I think that's what you just said there is a very good point as well, because there's loads of DJs that you can go and see for different things. Like me, if I was to watch me, I'd say I'm more of like a Stylus type of DJ. Like, because that's how I learned how to play. I learned to do like the long set. So when I structure my set, I do kind of keep that same format. Whereas I put Cable in that sort of situation as well. Like, you can put Cable in any room, you can do pretty much any type of set. So like, especially genre wise, you've got quite an eclectic taste. Like my friend DJ Sire, you could put him anywhere. You could put him in an Arabic room and he will shut it down. Like, you could put him in a Spanish room and shut it down. So so there's different things, but I think also what you're looking to improve on, like, are you looking on improving your main set? Because if you are, you can go and see someone that typically does those like 1-2 hour sets. Go and watch them, see how they play songs in certain ways. Or if you're looking for like, oh, I want to learn how to do a warm-up, go and see, like, I don't know, say Stylus, say if he's doing like a 4-5 hour set somewhere. So you can always pick and choose DJs for what they're good at. Like, if I want to learn like more about house or how to play house music, I'll go look at a house DJ. You're sick of playing drum and bass. Like, I would watch how you'd play drum and bass and mix it with different genres and take things like that as well. Obviously, W, like hip hop and dancehall stuff, I'd take things from you. Like, I think going to watch as many DJs as possible, especially ones that are more experienced than you or better than you, for the better sense of the word. Go and take things from them, man. Like, if it's like a sick transition you see, take it and use it. And then you can learn to evolve and use that in your own style with, and make your own ways of working as well. So just see as many as possible, man.
And I think also DJs that don't necessarily play similar stuff to what you play. So like, if you look at what Complexion and Mr. S do, they play like a lot of edits and some of their own edits and other edits that people send them, like quite a lot of SoundCloud stuff and their own personal taste in that as well. So like, I know if I'm going to watch like Stefan play, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff where I'm probably either going to be Shazamming or be like, yo, I didn't even know this existed. And you can take away a good like 2 or 3 records from that night where you're like, you know what, I could probably fit that into my set and take inspiration that way. Because again, it's very easy for us to kind of be caught up downloading what's on a record pool or get sent to us by a plugger or what the algorithm's pushing. So yeah, sometimes it's good to just kind of step outside your comfort zone and go see someone who might not align with what you do on a day-to-day basis, but you got a keen interest in as well.
Absolutely. It's like what Double said earlier about Soca. You know, you've had to kind of get out of your comfort zone a bit. You found a whole new genre and now you can incorporate it in your sets.
Amazing.
Whenever you want.
I actually had a bit of a funny moment in one of the group chats. There's a song by Alison Hines called Togetherness. Big, big Soca anthem. But where I was never into Soca, didn't realize it was an old song. So we had a conversation in one of my group chats about big Soca tunes that are dropped this year. You know where this is going. And there's me stepping up with my new Soca knowledge. Like, oh yeah, this one slaps. togetherness, as, and they were literally every single person turned around like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is like a, it's like saying Talking the Hardest is a new UK rap song. Do you know what I mean?
It's like when,
this is an anthem.
If you had Tags and Cues, mate, islands. You'd have known what year it was.
Precisely. But yeah, it's funny. But now, discovering new genres and listening to other people play music the way you don't play it is just so... I think every time I've gone out and listened to another DJ, my own style has leveled up and expanded.
Mm-hmm.
And I find like I don't like being the only DJ that I hear play. Mm-hmm. Gets to a point where I have to step outside and go and listen to other people, because I'm, for the last 3 months, I'm the only person that I've heard play.
Yeah.
So I'm a very good DJ, but I'm not helping myself evolve by just keeping my...
Yeah,
scope there. Do you know what I mean? It's definitely worth stepping out and
there's YouTube as well, isn't there? YouTube, things like YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, like follow DJs and like subscribe to their pages, and you know, like that, you never know what you're gonna pick up, man. Like
again, pick up, we even mentioned just one tip. DJ Puffy and Shen Xiang, from Taiwan, both they're prominent on YouTube, and their sets will make you look at how to structure your sets differently. Definitely. Yeah, this one is pretty self-explanatory. Back up your library.
Yep.
Essential. Mate. So the day before my laptop died, because I told you, didn't I, that it started twitching a little bit, I thought, you know what? I need to back up my entire MP3 library. I keep backups, but realistically, after a little while, I get lazy and I don't back up for like 3 or 4 months. And so the night before it died, I backed it up before I went to the club. And so it died the next morning. I had every single MP3 intact on this bad boy right here.
Buzzing.
Boom. The only thing I didn't have intact, which I forgot to back up, which is where I will step in and say, back up your Serato folder. _Serato_. Back that up. With your music library, because that is where your history is, that's where your crates are, that's where all of your...
That's what you forgot to do, right, initially?
I forgot to do it, yeah. So then I had to get the Joker. Anyone that didn't hear the last episode is going to be like, whoa, this escalated. Yeah, I had to get the Joker and get the Serato files off my old laptop through the hard drive reader.
Like, with backups as well, there's multiple ways to back up too. Like, I'd use Dropbox, so I sync it to my laptop, and as soon as I download a song, it updates the Dropbox.
How much, is that your stomach cable?
That is my stomach rumbling. I'm having lunch yet.
Have some lunch, man.
Fucking I know, bro.
Food, brother. Cable's fasting during these episodes. But yeah, I'd always recommend getting a cloud storage. Dropbox, Google, whatever you want to use, they're all really good.
How much do you have that can back up your music library?
So I pay for the 2 terabyte.
Oh, okay. Say no more.
And yeah, like I said, it literally updates as soon as you update something. So I've set it to update my Serato folder and my, you know, your All Music folder, wherever that may be kept.
Yeah.
Also, like Cable mentioned, people like Lexicon have a USB backup. Like, you, there's not really any excuses not to have a plan B. Like, USB drives are so like relatively cheap now as well. You know, you can get like a 512 or a 256 and
they're
just
so
upload
cheap,
that with
just
and that's worth music.
Lying about in the pack. It's not
that's
even
what I mean.
Bought sick. It and it's just sat here doing nothing. I've got another one in my DJ bag, but this is how cheap they are. You can just afford to buy them and they just lie around.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. I say it was a dream, it was actually a nightmare, that I lost all my music. So the next morning I woke up, I bought myself one of those lazy hard drives, I bought myself 2 USB pens and just backed up everything on there. And then I found that you can do like this Dropbox and Google Drive thing, so I got myself a Dropbox account as well.
Because
losing your music would suck, wouldn't it? And obviously there's always people there to help and support and stuff, but there's nothing like having your
you're never going to get everything catalog. Back like how you know what I mean.
I have always backed up my MP3s and my hard drive does not come out with me.
Yeah.
So like, God forbid, I don't leave my laptop in the car anyway, but God forbid if anyone was to steal my laptop bag from the car and the hard drive's gone with it as well, that's my whole music.
Exactly.
Library. And that's so that stays at home.
With the cloud as well, you can just literally like download it and it's bang on a new thing. I think I pay £11 a month for it, for Dropbox.
That's pretty good.
I absolutely nothing, is it? Detest monthly payments.
I think you could. I'm guessing you could probably pay an annual payment as well.
Yeah.
So I mean, definitely do that if you can.
I'm all right. I've got quite in the early days. Dropbox did like a referral thing.
Mm.
So if you referred an email address, you get like 100 megabytes extra storage.
Mm.
I've got a very extensive DJ email address catalog. I've got about 8,000 email addresses of DJs, right, in a file. So I dropped the entire email address into my Dropbox referral list, right?
Amazing.
And what happened was, anyone that signed up to Dropbox using that email address, whether it was through my referral or not,
yeah,
I got 100 megabytes of storage.
Beautiful.
Sick.
I now have 21.3 gigabytes of storage.
Beautiful.
On Dropbox. Beautiful. So, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And it's all, I don't pay anything. It's yeah, free. But because of that's the cool referral thing, I've got like 21.8 gigabytes of storage on there.
Yeah, but so, backing up is key, man. For absolutely sure. And again, CB's MLT, you can back up your library in there as well. And Lexicon. Yeah. You can get cloud storage in Lexicon too. I haven't got it. I'm a cheapskate, but yeah, yeah, you can do that if you wanted to.
Yeah, if you've got to pay, I'm not
if you've got
me.
If you've got peas, do it.
Yeah, practice. I'm aware of the time as well, so we kind of have to skip over these. We'll keep them as headlining as possible, but I can't emphasize this enough. Do you know how many times people have like bought some equipment and managed to blag a club set, and it's like their first time DJing? Mm-hmm. Like,
oh mate, my stomach's killing me.
Cables.
Yeah,
you're hungry, bro.
Anyone listening's like, yo, is someone fine in the background? No, it's my stomach's rumbling. It's so
that's hilarious.
Yeah,
we've been sat here for 3 hours to prepare past lunchtime. But yeah, practice. And also, you know what's important is this was saying CJ Beats, CJ All Day, said when he came on the podcast a couple of years ago, is practice hours.
Mm.
Even if you're an established DJ, don't let being in the club be the only time you're DJing.
Yeah.
Like if you're at home and you've got a setup, jump on and practice. And I think it's so important, especially if you're already doing stuff in clubs, because you can experiment and find stuff that you wouldn't
mm-hmm
find when you're in the clubs. There's
you
no
can take
pressure
more risk at home, can't you? Yeah,
absolutely. There's no pressure whatsoever.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So yeah, practice is definitely a piece of advice.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping library organized is an interesting one.
I mean, shout to CB. He's got
speak
the hack
to
for
CB.
That.
Yeah,
yep.
Like I said in the message, do whatever CB says.
Whatever CB tells you to do, you do. MLT
you do it
is the name of his
get
software.
Your MLT.
And I think it also provides crates as well, isn't it? Isn't there like pre-organized crates? I think CB has that somewhere.
Yeah, I think he says you can he either sends screenshots or he has like crate data where it's like you put it into Serato and it's like all smart crates like by year and genre and stuff.
Yeah.
Have a dedicated music folder as well. For years I was using iTunes and that's great, but take fucking ages to load up on Serato. Yeah. So once I made that transition, I still need to kind of put more stuff onto my dedicated music folder and swap it out.
Yeah.
You have now like a music folder that, you know, say someone's like, oh, I lost like my 90s hip hop folder. Cool. Here you go. I can send you
right
something
there
straight away.
Or, yeah, see, I have it slightly differently. In my music folder, I've got it all separated as genres.
Okay.
But
same thing.
Within the genres, that's just everything.
Yeah.
So
right.
Even previously on my old Mac in Dancehall, I had Dancehall folder, and then I had a rhythms folder and a singles folder. And in the rhythms folder was the folders of every rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But migrating all of my data onto the new laptop, I didn't bother keeping the rhythms folder. It was too much time. So all of the rhythms are just bunched in the Dancehall thing. But using Serato, I can type in buzz rhythm and all of my buzz rhythms comes up. I can then copy and paste that into a folder.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you ever
it's,
need to
it's
send
well
someone,
worth it. It's well it's, worth it, man. Just like Cable says, centralize your music. If you can organize it, if you want to organize it by year, genre, artist, whatever you want to do, just make sure it's organized to your taste, because it makes your life a lot easier, especially with things like losing music and transferring music across.
Yeah, I think organizing it on a basic level on the hard drive
and
then doing all the really intricate, detailed organizing within Serato or Rekordbox if you use that, like, and having your crates for that stuff and all your ID3 tags and things like that inside your DJ software.
Yeah.
Because what I used to do when I first moved to Serato was I would label the files with what the song, what the artist is, what the song is, if it was clean, and then I would put the BPM.
Right.
So on the file name, it would have all that information.
That's cool.
It, well, that's it is, lot. But it's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
Man. You think how much music we're importing. Yeah. Now I'm having to... So, but back then, obviously, Serato didn't automatically give you the BPM.
Yeah.
You had to analyse everything, and that took a fucking age to do. So I was using Mixmeister. Do you remember Mixmeister?
Oh, yeah, I remember Mixmeister. Yeah.
Drag it all into this little window, and it told you. So, yeah, there was that. But now I think, yeah, all the detailed data, I think, do inside the software.
Yeah.
I put evolve with the technology.
Very relevant to you, brother.
It is very relevant to me. No, it is. It is. And the reason I put it is because I'm very, like, I've mentioned a few times, I'm very habitual. I'm a creature of habit and I don't like change very much. Mm-hmm. So even when Serato changed from Scratch Live to Serato DJ and the orange turned to blue, that bothered me. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, maybe it's a tism. I'm not sure. But it honestly was a case of, like, I was so hesitant to upgrade. I only upgraded from Scratch Live when I had to because the operating system didn't support it anymore. Mm-hmm. And similarly with this, I'm only just getting onto stems in the last month since my laptop died. And I was so, like, resistant to change with the technology. Now I'm wishing, like everybody told me, I wish I'd changed to stems 3 years ago with everyone else because it's a fucking game changer. But it is a lesson. It's a thing where I'm like, at the time, I know when these changes happen, I'm not going to like them.
Yeah.
But I'm only holding myself back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I know, like, us DJs, we're weirdos, man. Like, there's introverts, there's people that have severe OCD. We're all, like, all different types of weirdos. And I think there's going to be quite a few people like me that are, like, hesitant to change because they don't like the change. So my advice would literally be evolve with the technology.
Mm-hmm. But, like, also at the same time, make sure you're ready to evolve. Like, don't update your stuff if your operating system is...
Oh, yeah,
like, do your research. Because I see a lot of people that don't do research.
Yeah.
And then they get unstuck and then they have all sorts of problems. So if you're not 100% sure, always double check. Like, we've got that group chat that we're in, aren't we? The amount of times you see people put messages and saying, "Oh, can I upgrade?" That's well worth asking that question.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not a techie person, because not all DJs are. You know, some DJs just, like, they turn their laptop on and play music and that's it. So, always, like, just even just Google it, or I think Serato, they might have a list as well. If you go on there, just check the operating system they work with as well.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I had to certain check equipment and whatnot.
When I bought this Mac, it had the latest operating system. So before I downloaded Serato, I checked, and it turns out Serato's newest version is, or Serato 3 even, isn't compatible with this operating system. So I had to take the machine to Apple to get it backdated.
Yeah.
And now I'm on Sequoia or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I think I'm on Ventura. I don't know what one that is.
Sequoia 15.6, but it did have Tahoe on it. But it's
I don't think I've ever updated the operating system, you know. I'm way too scared. I'm a bit like Double in that sense. I'm way too scared to even touch them. So I'll only update it, like, you really, if needs must.
Yeah, same.
Absolutely have to.
Yeah, so double check first.
But yeah, evolving with the technology, I think, is definitely definitely key. But also, like, if it fits for you. Because, like, vinyl-only DJs, they're not evolving with the technology. But that's because they are vinyl-only DJs. They are in that niche. But yeah, I think just generically... And across the board as a DJ, don't be hesitant just because you're a bit like, oh, a bit anti like me sometimes. The last one, have a strategy when it comes to social media and content output.
Yeah. So I think with this, it's like, just do what aligns with you and just be natural with it. Like, don't try and chase going viral because you won't go viral. I think we all of us have been fortunate to have had, like, one or two posts that have gone viral, and it's been the thing that you've least expected to go viral. Mm-hmm. It's just you organically posting something, and for whatever reason, it's gone clear, and it's great. Like, you know, but also you can fall foul of, like, trying to chase that moment again by constantly, like, posting content. So I would say just focus on posting good content, good quality stuff, whether that's you in the studio, you at a gig, whether you're talking like direct to camera, that seems to be like working well, and you know, just kind of showcasing your own personality and your own taste, whether it's with music, fashion, technology, whatever. People want a bit more of a personal connection these days. I see a lot of people trying to bite what Fish Octagon is doing at the moment, with like, you know, this is a house record, it's made by such and such, but no one can really do that as good as Fish can, because that's his lane and he knows his music and his whole aesthetic and his get up works for him. So you have people who aren't necessarily that comfortable talking direct to camera trying to do it, and it's forced and it's a little bit contrived. So just work out what you're comfortable with posting and just do it regularly. You know, if you can post every single day, great. I would say just aim to post at least 3 times a week. I think 3 times a week is a good benchmark figure, and just start trial and error, find out what works for you, find out what performs well, and then once you've got a formula, stick to it. So if like sharing DJ tips on a Monday is good, and then you're going to talk about what 5 house records you're feeling on a Wednesday, Friday could be like a little mix or routine or something, and then Saturday, Sunday, if you've got any bonus footage, like you in the club or whatever, just upload it, and don't think too much about what time you need to post it. Experiment with the times as well, so you know your audience might be more awakened online at 12 p.m. or 6 p.m. in the evening when they finish work.
I think scheduling and posting at certain times of day, I think that's a dated practice now anyway, because of the 100%. Way that Instagram's evolved and the way it works. You could post something at 12 p.m. it might not pop onto someone's timeline until 2 p.m. the next day. I get stuff on my timeline sometimes that was posted like 3 or 4 days before, and it's coming on my feed as if
algorithms are messing
it.
It's a bit of a mess, so you might as well just join the mess.
I think when I said have a strategy, it comes down actually, like, I'll use what I've most recently done as an example. I made the Christmas Dancehall Rhythms pack, and I've been planning this literally, no bullshit, all year. I've planned how I'm going to roll this out and what I'm going to do with it. I added a little bit of a twist because I attached the Jamaica Hurricane Relief fundraiser to it, which wasn't part of the original plan, but it's just like an added bonus. But I planned what days I'm going to release content, how to broaden it. So Nadia J, obviously playing it on One Extra, was part of the plan. And even down to the social media content. I've got face to camera content, and then for next week I've got the music videos that I've made for the edits, and then to finish it all was going to be a carousel of all the music videos. Do you know what I mean? And it's all just to get it out there and flood it, and it's
cable's lying.
Starving,
Brian. Oh, it's okay, we've got 60 seconds left and we'll get out. But yeah, so my point is, like, I'm not just throwing, I see a lot of DJs just throwing mud at the wall to see what sticks, basically. And I don't think that's the right approach, because I think what people are doing is they're trying to go viral, and then they do and they're like, oh, now what? It's like, okay, if you're gonna go viral, what is it for? Is it to bring people back to your profile so they can see you're a bad boy DJ and book you in the clubs? In that case, get your profile ready, because why have you not got your biggest club set pinned? Why have you not got the fact that you were DJing for 50 Cent when he came to the club? Do you know what I mean? All these things that are like, if the strategy is to get into your profile, set your profile up so it's ready for people to land. If you want them to go to YouTube, get your YouTube ready so it's people straight away want to subscribe when they get there. In my case, this was a dancehall album. I want downloads. Do you know what I mean? I want people to download the album. I want DJs to just start spinning them if they want to. So it was a case of, right here, other people were fucking with it. Look, Idris Elba loves it. One Extra are playing it. This and that. DJ City have featured it. And it makes DJ, do you know what I mean? The strategy behind it was DJs will be like, oh, okay, cool, let me find out. And then they'll go to the Bandcamp, download it, and then they have it. So I think having a strategy behind your posts and actually planning it and thinking out what to do and how to execute it, I think is the way, rather than just, just uploading and uploading just to keep on the treadmill and endlessly going at it. I think also, like, make it seasonal as well. I don't think you, Cable, you said about posting 3 times a week. I don't think it needs to be as regular anymore. Like,
yeah, I think it's one of them ones where the algorithm does reward those who are consistent to an extent. I think if you're going to dip in and post like once every 2 weeks and then dip out, that does work for some people, but sometimes you want to still kind of like feed your audience. And you know, if you're kind of doing the kind of informative post where you're talking about of your favorite, like, you know, garage records, or you're putting someone up on new stuff and you're becoming more of like a like a crate digger and a tastemaker in that sense, and that's kind of your lane, then you got to be like relevant with it. Whereas if you're just like in the clubs and stuff and you've got like some really good footage of you, that can still like carry you for quite a period of time. But again, it's all down to what your individual goals are with it, and I guess how intentional you want to be with posting on social media as well.
Yeah, 100%. To round it off, there was one phrase that I put into the chat about being a purple cow. So what that means is, it was actually when I was away during the summer, I met up with Charlie Slough on one of the islands, and we were chatting, and he was like, you need to read this book. He's like, this is a book I had, you need to read it. And basically it was called The Purple Cow. And the premise is, like, if you're driving and you've never seen a cow before, you'll be like, holy shit, it's a cow. What the hell? And if you're driving and driving and driving and see some more, and you see some more, and by the time you've seen like 500 cows, you just say, yeah, it's a cow. If you then suddenly see a purple one, you'll be like, holy shit, it's a purple cow. Do you know what I mean? So it's like the idea behind it all is making yourself stand out in a field that is oversaturated.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like when
with cows.
All, yeah, in a field full of cows, be the purple cow. Literally, like,
yeah, that's it makes complete sense. It makes complete sense.
Explain it in the pod, and it's like, yeah, if all this noise and every DJ posting up blends and club sets and Mobambas and Fiends and all of this stuff all the time, then all the people are seeing is just another DJ doing exactly the same thing. So how are you going to be different? How are you going to stand out from what everyone else is doing? Like, figure out what makes you a purple cow and try that. Might not work, in which case figure out another one. But I think that would be my last piece of advice.
Spot on, mate.
Makes sense.
Absolutely spot on.
I know you've got a bounce cable because you're going to starve to death and keel over and collapse in a minute.
Exactly. No one wants that on a podcast.
So, yeah, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me. It's
thanks for having us, mate.
Always a pleasure. Podcast,
at Talkover Pod on all of the socials, DJ Cable, Just Craig, and me, DJ Double. And we will be back again. I'm not even going to say we're going to be regularly posting.
Within
I'm
next
not going to say
months.
Regularly posting in 2026, but we will be. We'll be back. So, yeah, thanks for listening, gentlemen. Later.
See ya.
Peace.
Cable, get out.